When I was a little kid, I was very social. I was an only child, so I figured out early that if I wanted to have a playmate, it was going to be up to me to make that happen. At restaurants, when I was done, I would ask to be excused, and I would hop down from my chair and wander around making friends with the other people at the other tables. Every once in a while, I got lucky and people would give me a bite of some dessert. The 70s were a very different time. My parents took me camping each summer, and as soon as we backed our VW camper into the site, I would pop out of the car and get on my bike and ride around the campground looking for other children. It was easy back then to just walk up to a stranger, to a child, and just say simply, "Want to play?" Children have society's permission to play, but most adults don't. Somewhere between childhood and adulthood, most of us exchanged play for work and forgot to play with the abandon and joy of childhood. Researchers are finding that giving adults the go-ahead and some techniques to resume adult forms of play is incredibly beneficial. Being capable of generating, recognizing, and acting on the play signals of others establishes or reestablishes trust, safety, and adaptation to the unexpected or complex. Perhaps this truth has been buried in the usual win-lose contests that characterize most adult negotiations. It's in our playing, spontaneous and joyful play, that we can experience intense connection with each other and with the divine, writes Stuart Brown, MD, in his book, Play, How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and Invigorates the Soul. He goes on and he says, play is essential in developing healthy ways to respond to the complex problems of life. Having a sense of irony can help us cope with whatever life throws at us. Being deprived of play tends to make both humans and animals fixed and rigid in responding to complex stimuli. They fail to seek novelty and embrace newness, important skills for adaptation and survival. Humor and playfulness have played a crucial role in helping to facilitate growth and shape public life. Spiritual writers Frederick and Marianne Brissat say, Coyote, Nasruddin, St. Francis and his order of jesters of the Lord, Zen masters, Taoist sages, Hasidic storytellers, clowns, and performance artists, such prophets, and all the spiritual traditions have them, encourage us not to take ourselves too seriously. They say that what we know is not worth knowing, and what's worth knowing cannot be known through our ways. To our sensible selves, their actions seem silly, shameless, even shocking, but they have an important role in the spiritual life. They carry the banner for the spiritual practice of play. What are we talking about? What is play exactly? Play is give and take, offering and receiving. It's the willing exchange of life force energy. When I think of play, I get this image in my mind of people as light beings tossing a little ball of light energy between them. To do it really well, we have to get our egos out of the way. To truly enjoy ourselves, we can't be overly concerned with winning or being perfect at whatever game it is. Lenore Terre in Beyond Love and Work says, when we play, we sense no limitations. In fact, when we're playing, we are usually unaware of ourselves. Self-observation goes out the window. We forget all the past lessons of life, forget our potential foolishness, forget ourselves. We immerse ourselves in the act of play, and we become free. And Brother David Stendhal Rast writes, play needs no purpose. That is why play can go on and on as long as the players find it meaningful. After all, he says, we do not dance in order to get somewhere. We need this kind of experience to correct our worldview. For those of you who have bubbles, I encourage you to blow bubbles if you're moved. This is a playful service. It made me very happy to learn that there is a National Institute for Play. It was founded by Dr. Stuart Brown, and here's what they say about play on their website. It says, play is the gateway to vitality. By its nature, it is uniquely and intrinsically rewarding. It generates optimism, seeks out novelty, makes perseverance fun, leads to mastery, gives the immune system a bounce, fosters empathy, and promotes a sense of belonging and community. It's important to realize, I love the bubbles, this is so great. I should do this all the time. It's important to realize that play isn't frivolous, and it isn't just for children. In fact, it is foundational to our ongoing psychological development, healthy psychological development. Play is as basic and as pervasive a natural phenomenon as sleep. Anyone who has ever tossed a frisbee to a beloved dog knows that playfulness crosses species lines. What does this mean? For humans and other animals, play is a universal training course and language of trust. The belief that one is safe with another being or in a situation is formed over time during regular play. Trust is the basis of intimacy, cooperation, creativity, successful work, and so much more. Human beings are created in the act of joyful play. Sexuality can be a profound source and expression of playfulness. Play helps maintain social health in groups of people and animals. Dr. Fred Donaldson is a world-famous specialist in the use of play as an alternative to aggression. He's developed many of his successful healing techniques by first deciphering the play signals of animals through close observation, and then using them to join in and play bond with animals such as wolves and bears. He has adapted those techniques to his remarkable work with hostile gangs, warring political parties, and other groups that are locked in a lose-lose battle. He also works with disabled children to help them reach the freedom and utter joy found in a deep state of play. It turns out that a lack of play actually makes animals and people aggressive. In a blog post that was entitled Play Deprivation, a Leading Indicator for Mass Murder, Dr. Stuart Brown writes, a close look at the biology and neuroscience of play reveals it to be a fundamental survival aspect of all social mammals, with measurable negative consequences in controlled laboratory settings that limit or deter animal play behavior. The linkages from the objective findings in animal play deprivation to the clinical findings in humans is yet unproven. However, the subcortical physiology and anatomy is similar, and the inability of play-deprived animals to deter aggression or to socialize comfortably with fellow pack members is demonstrable. The remediation of these socialization deficits in the animals by inclusion of play in developmentally appropriate forms reveals the effectiveness of play as a means of achieving more social normalcy and nonviolent alternatives in the playful social mammal domains. So I would like to bring some more playfulness into this service, and I'm going to invite you now to make a silly face. Make a silly face. Turn to a neighbor and show them your silly face. Turn to another neighbor, show them a silly face. You guys are good. There's some very silly faces out there. So let's reflect just a little bit on that experience. Did it change the way you feel? Do you feel lighter, more engaged? There's an intimacy built when we're playing together. It bonds people. It builds community when we're playful together. So here's your homework. You have homework. Sorry, seniors, you still have homework. Keep working on your silly faces. Practice in the mirror. I did between services, and I got a whole new silly face out of it. If you have a child in your life, get them to teach you a new silly face. Share what you learn with your friends and family, and bring a new silly face back here next Sunday. You can approach anything with a playful spirit, even going to the grocery store. My husband and I have been known to push one another around in the carts. He likes to toss some of the more durable items into the basket from 10 or 15 feet away, like he's playing basketball. And if a good song comes on the speakers, if we're feeling especially goofy, we might dramatically lip sync the words or create some interpretive dance involving paper towels and salad dressing or something. Play is simply a way of delighting in the moment, whatever the moment is. And it can happen anywhere at any time. It seems, too, that if we were to gather up a handful of the world's wisest beings, they tend to be people who have that certain twinkle in their eyes and a smile on their face. When I saw the Dalai Lama, I think it was a couple years ago now at UCSD, I was struck by how much he smiled and laughed. He is a very silly man, and his mirth is contagious. Now, when I see that twinkle in someone's eyes, I know it's because they are in on the cosmic joke. They likely know how to play well. Improvisation is based on the idea of creative exchange. There's a core concept in improv that I had to learn early on. It's the concept of yes and. When you're playing an improv game and creating a scenario together, one person makes what is called an offer, and the other person's job is to affirm and receive the offer, say yes to it, and offer something in return. I see what you are offering, and I am offering this in return. And this is how you build a scene. I can tell you from experience that it can be a real challenge to not shut down the other person's offer. Often our first instinct is resistance to what is, right? But that's the work, or should I say, that's the play. It seems to me that the healthiest stance that we can take with one another all the time. Life itself is a continual stream of offerings. Someone who is good at playing has an easier time saying yes and to whatever life is presenting. So take a moment, consider how well do you say yes and to life? And what role does playfulness have in your day-to-day living? Would you like to bring more playfulness into your experience? And how might you do that? What is one playful act that you can commit to doing in this next coming week? My friends, life is improvisation. Life is change. And it seems that the changes are coming faster and faster these days. We will enjoy life more if we have an easier time adapting to these changes, learning to sway with the winds. Because if you don't learn to bend, if you become stiff and brittle, it is more likely that you will break. So let us learn to laugh at ourselves and at the utter absurdity of the human condition. Let us embrace playfulness as the way towards a more fun-filled, joyful, and creative life. Let's play. Amen.